Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that. We don't
have to go. BT and Sal back on the fan. The road to New Orleans, BT on the fan, is sponsored by Bet365. We'll go over the wild card matchups and one of the great weekends in all of sports in just a minute. I know you have something for me here that you wanted to get to.
I do. I love wild card weekend. We'll get to that. It's my favorite, even more so than divisional. I can't wait. Yeah, okay. I've always been a huge wild card weekend guy. All right, so it's interesting. You ready? As I read NFL.com, I saw a tweet, but I went right to the link. Multiple NFL teams have inquired about whether legendary coach Bill Belichick would reconsider his move from college football, including the Las Vegas Raiders, whose new minority owner, Tom Brady, spoke recently with his old coach about what it would take to make a reunion happen in Las Vegas, per sources. There's more to read, but let's get the initial reaction. Let's go.
I freaking love it. Now, yeah. I don't know if I'm buying it. God, there are many layers to this. I want Bill Belichick back in the NFL. I'm mad at the Jets for turning down the call. I'm mad at the idiot Falcons for choosing Raheem Morris over Belichick. I want Bill Belichick back in the NFL. I love the idea of Brady being an owner, reaching out to Bill, what it would take. Do you really think that after committing to North Carolina and going through the process and his son and all those different things, that he's going to already, before it gets started, give it up to go to the Raiders?
Hey, maybe this finally gets us off the hook all those years. You know, I mean, think about the way that he left the Jets at the altar. Now it's the Tar Heels' problem. See you, buddy. Not my problem anymore. Get lost.
I guess that's true. If there's anybody who could do that.
He does change his mind quickly. I think you want to.
We know there's a buyout.
There's
obviously
a $10 million buyout if he leaves prior to June 1. All right. So yeah, financially, that's a mere pittance. I mean, if Tom Brady wants him, Davis, $10 million. $10 million before June 1. So between Davis and between Brady, he's got a slice of the team now. If they want him, that is pennies. That is chump change. That's pocket change and lint. So financially, there's really no hoops to jump through.
But then you're gonna have to pay the contract on top of
it. Sure, 100%. They'd have to pay that. I mean, just look at it this way. Do I think that Bill Belichick would do it? I use two levels to evaluate it. Number one, did he really, really, truly want back in the NFL? The answer is undeniably yes. He was calling everybody. He begged the Jets. He wanted others. You know, he put feelers out there for the Giants, I'm sure.
You know, he's got to want that coaching record as well, the most wins.
He's only a couple outside of that. So, yes, he wants the NFL. And, two, he has shown to change his opinion, change his mind quite quickly. Now, he decided not to, like, the press conference was not nearly as pomp and circumstance as the Carolina was, where he's got the Carolina blue tie and he's got his girlfriend. Yeah. And he's hitting up recruits, and he's got the helmet, and he's out there at the Dean Dome addressing the college basketball guard. A little different. I think the door's open, man, which means
that would be a tough leave, though, dude, after you did all that.
Who cares?
Oh, yeah, right. You're going to leave the cloud of dust in North Carolina and move on?
Okay, so why wouldn't the Jets call him now, too?
Well, that's over.
I mean, why?
That ship has sailed, my friend. You got to let that one go. He tried to call them, and they said no. And also, they're not going to pay the 10. You got to let that one go. As much as I want, I'm sorry, BT. I hate to break it to you. You got to let it go.
Yeah.
You're looking more. More Rex. Hey, good news. Good news for Jet fans.
How about this?
Rex still doesn't have to kiss Belichick's rings when they play the Raiders.
No, I was going to say, how about Belichick shows up as a Jets head coach? Hey, Rex, instead of kissing these rings, why don't you kiss my ass? I'm the coach of the Jets.
Here's the problem. If Belichick gets back in and he gets hired by the Raiders and the Jets hire Rex.
Jets aren't hiring Rex, but I know what you mean. Oh, boy.
Dude, you turned down Bill Belichick? You hung up on Nana? How could you hang up on Bill Belichick? It doesn't make any sense. I still can't believe that they did that.
I don't think they're hiring Rex.
I'll believe it when I see it, although that would be the one situation to the Raiders because of Brady and because of the... Like, I believe that 100% from Pelissero that happened and that Brady would want him there to coach the Raiders. Raiders are dying for that. You know, they've been down that road before with Gruden.
Yeah.
You know,
I just didn't think that Brady... I know that their relationship wasn't as fractured as maybe some people thought, but...
He's not going to play for him anymore.
True, but doesn't this show even more... depth to their friendship and their trust than I really thought?
Yeah, well, I don't know... Like, I never thought that it was that bad. I think what happened...
I think it got a little bad at
the end. You got to watch that show I've been telling you about.
Yeah, I do have to watch it.
Dynasty or whatever. It's great, and it gives you some good insight. And I know people maybe say it's painted to make Belichick look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, it did get toxic at the end, and Brady got frustrated, and you could see it wasn't a good working environment. But he always had respect for Belichick as a coach and always gave him credit for his career. So I think that would be great for the NFL to have Belichick back, especially if he's teamed with Brady, owner-head coach type relationship.
I would also, I wouldn't put it past Shad Khan down there in Jacksonville, who's building a $1.2 billion stadium, which is going to be the envy of even maybe the Chargers and the Rams. It's supposed to be the most futuristic stadium in certainly in the country.
Sounded like Ben Johnson was going to be the guy there. But,
he could be. Yeah. No, he could be.
If but he goes I mean, back and play.
Well, he could be. But think about this. If you're Shad Khan now and you were kind of in your own mind gravitating to somebody like Ben Johnson, now you get wind of this. Oh, wow. You know, Brady reached out to Belichick. Maybe Belichick is interested, a little peaked. Like, maybe there's a window from Jaguars' perspective that they didn't think was necessarily there, and maybe they jump into the mix as well.
All right, as for this weekend, wild card weekend here, again, the road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. What matchup are you looking forward to the most? You got the Chargers and Texans getting things started. Steelers, Ravens, great matchup, you know, division rivalry on Saturday night. Bills, Broncos, Eagles, Packers, Bucks, Washington, Commanders, and then Monday night. I don't love the Monday night game, not the actual matchup with the Rams and the Vikings, just the idea. I'd rather have three on Saturday, three on Sunday.
Yeah.
But the wild card now with the way the postseason is, having it on Monday, is there one game in particular that jumps out to you?
I'm going
to
give you probably the one that you would pick last. I think the Commanders, Buccaneers is most interesting in this regard because one of those two teams that nobody thinks can do anything, at least certainly coming into the season, is in the divisional round. So, I mean, we could keep... I've kind of stopped doing this, but we could sit here and say, the Bucs this, and, look at the quarterback. He's bounced around Baker, whatever, or the Commanders. They're not ready yet. I mean, you just don't know. I do think a couple of my buddies are big Bills fans. Like, I think the Broncos... I'll give you a quick snapshot of every game. I think the Broncos are a very tough matchup for the Bills, even though the Broncos have a rookie quarterback and the game's in Buffalo. I think Packers-Eagles going to be a lot of fun, but I don't think the Packers are ready. I love the Eagles there. Commanders-Bucks, flip a coin. That's going to be interesting. Mm. And I do think the Vikings-Rams game... Again, I don't like waiting until Monday either, but...
Also, by the way, to the point you made about the Bucs and Commanders, meaning that one of those two teams that nobody had really high expectations will be in the division round. Same thing for the Vikings and Rams.
Like, no, that's true. That is definitely true. Yeah, that's true. I actually love the Rams in this game. They're well-rested.
What's the line right now?
I don't have it in front of me. I thought it was one or a pick 'em. I'm almost half of you. I don't know
they
if you
created
have that
their
in front
own
of
buy. Yeah, I'm
pretty sure it was Minnesota minus one on the road. I think the Vikings were early favorites on the small favorites on the road.
I'm down on the Vikings too. After that performance Sunday night and Sam not looking great.
I'm actually hoping it goes like to 1.5 or two, which I don't think it will. Then I'll take the Rams on the money line.
See, get I a think more juice. I think, and it's weird to say this because the Saturday first matchup on Saturday is usually the worst of the bunch,
mm-hmm.
but I think that might be the best game of all, because I could see Buffalo blowing out Denver. Who the hell knows with the Packers and Eagles? And on paper, you'd think that that's going to be the best matchup going in. But to your point, the Eagles have just dominated everybody this year. I don't know what to think in that game. I'm not into the Bucs and Commanders myself as much. Certainly not the Monday night. I love Harbaugh and the Chargers. And against, you know, Texans, with Stroud and Ryan's getting back in the postseason, being
Mixon,
yeah, there at
home. Season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that matchup. I think that might be the closest game, maybe the best game that we get.
Though I feel like the Texans are all, whenever they make the playoffs, they're like always the first game. I don't feel that
way.
Yeah,
they are. It's always like that. Usually it was Texans and Bengals. It felt like forever. That first Saturday wildcard game at 4 o'clock.
I think this will be a competitive game. I think it's low scoring, just the way the Chargers play. There it is, 3-point spread. Let me see. The other thing, too, like Steelers-Ravens sounds fun. Ravens going to squash them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What is the line, 10 right
Nine
now?
9.5.
You don't think that's... I've been getting sucked
in. I'm not saying I'm going to bet it. I probably won't touch that based on the number.
Right. But you don't think that the Steelers could at least keep that close? Like, I know that the Steelers have been bad, and I mean bad, and I've been taking it on the chin for the most part. They did cover, luckily, this past weekend. But prior to that, the Kansas City game on Christmas was embarrassing. They've been struggling for a few weeks here. But against the Ravens in the postseason, I have a hard time thinking a Mike Tomlin coach team is going to get embarrassed. And that's what that is, a double-digit 10-point loss.
Yeah, but think about this, Sal. Like, let's say the final's 30-17 or 30-13 or something, just somewhere 31-13. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be Ravens 21, Steelers nothing to start. Like, it can grow into a rout.
Yeah.
I would think the first quarter and a half will be competitive. I just think the Ravens are a lot better.
Yeah, you might
Steelers
be right
can't
about
score.
Lamar in the postseason,
lately.
Tomlin should be a tough defense. But yeah, I think this game, you bet or look at it, either the Steelers are done based on what's happened the last several weeks, they're just toast and the Ravens are going to kill them, or you believe that they could have some life and have a potential chance to win this game based on Lamar's struggles in the postseason, based on the rivalry, maybe a close game, a field goal game, Russell Wilson making some plays in the postseason. Like, you can make a case for that, but based on what we've
seen... I can make that case
that the Steelers could win. Then, to your point, you think they're going to get smoked.
I do. Listen, I was reading something this morning from Pittsburgh. They're having discussions whether or not they should bench Russell Wilson.
Right.
Like, you know,
go with Justin Fields.
Yeah,
no,
it's been chilly.
Yeah, how about Pickens, that stiff who can't catch a ball? I mean, my God, he had one of the worst games I've ever seen for a wide receiver a week ago. Anyway, looking forward to the wild card round. We'll get more into it. We'll have our picks. And by the way, I wanted to do, and we got to talk to the other members of the station here, but I wanted to have a postseason picks challenge with our show, me, you, Hoff, our three picks versus Evan, Marash, and Loogie versus Boomer, Gio, and Recco. And have like some kind of challenge, because the regular season is over. We know I won the perfect probably pick segment. Evan, I think, won his thing. In the mornings, I think they continue it through the postseason. We just ended in the regular season.
Okay.
And I think maybe we could have a little tie-in to the three shows and then have a payoff at the end of it.
Well, maybe we
get those guys to buy us some lunch or something.
I was going to say, what are we playing for? I'm in.
Like maybe pizza for everybody or lunch.
More than that. I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
You think we take them down?
Yeah.
The combo of us.
Doesn't matter. I'm in.
And Hoff.
Let's go.
Taking down Boomer and Gio.
Do we have to include Hoff?
Yeah, we do. We got to go through it. He's part of our pick segment.
He's the champion last year. Of course,
I mean, come on.
I'm in, Evan,
Loogie, and Marash. If we can't beat them,
we'll beat
them.
Let's go.
And
set it
Boomer,
up.
Gio, and Recco.
Set it up.
They've been terrible in picks.
How many times I got to say set it up?
I'm trying to set it up. What's the best way to do it?
I don't know. Just keep calling them out on the air and entice them into a fight.
Exactly. Hope that they fight. The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Annabelle is calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey.
Happy New Year, man. Let me tell you, man, I love you guys. You guys are perfect. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thanks, buddy.
I was going to talk about, I got 2 points. One on the Jets and one on the Atlanta situation. I will take Belichick back because even though I hated him when he was with New England with Brady, if he can come back here for 3 years and put this thing together, and make a championship, or at least get us to the playoff. I love to get him back here, even though somehow you don't agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, look, and thank you for the call, Annabelle. I mean, look, Belichick would be, to me, the greatest hire that you could make. And obviously, that's not going to happen. We saw that with the Jets. So, what do you? They turned him away.
I know. I get it.
Imagine Belichick and Rodgers next year. Think of the excitement you would have. You're talking about getting, not you, but Jeff Fitz is talking about getting excited about Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were sitting here talking about Bill Belichick being the next HC of the NYJ.
Well, where he really should be coaching the other tenants at the stadium.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened. Belichick should be coaching the Giants next year.
I'd rather it be with the Jets because I think the Jets are closer to winning.
Mm.
By the way,
I mean, I probably agree with that sentiment, but Belichick, I don't know. I think the Giants messed that up.
I'm going to screw this up again. But
it's Bowden. It's Bowden. Not he.
How'd you know I was going to get to that?
Because I know what you mess up. You can't say his name right.
Do you reading my phone? You reading my text? How did you know I was going to say that? I was literally going
to
say that.
Because I pay attention to what my partner says.
Okay,
I know his weaknesses and his strengths.
So which one
and
is
you
it
you can't
again?
Say the guy's name right. It's, and now neither can I, evidently.
It's Bowden?
Bowden.
No, so I'm getting a text, confused, and this, I'm bad with this, with the what do you call it? The spelling when you lay it out?
The what? You can't spell? I don't know. Phonetically? When you have a little line there to break it up into syllables?
Yeah. Hyphens. Jesus. Hyphens. Okay, so I got a text.
1 + 1 = 2.
Saying Aaron Boone wants you to know that it's Jim B-O-Den. So that's Bowden, right?
Well, is it a long O or a short O? Did they put
No, they didn't. Not B-O-W, which also
would be
Bow,
like bow and arrow.
Well.
Yeah.
But
what about Bo Jackson? Jackson is B-O.
I mean. Yeah.
Oh, so we're more confused now.
That's my point. So I'm not the only idiot in the room, apparently.
Well, I want to know what that tells me. Forget about Bowden. Who cares about him? Aaron Boone's listening to the show. Call us up, Skip.
Let's go, Booney. Well, Booney's texting somebody else to get to me. Like, let's just cut out the
middleman.
Booney
loves the show.
Come on, we'll do the card pack, Booney. We're taking you down.
Oh, we're going to crush him.
We're taking you down, Booney.
Booney, I know you're listening. You know, when we had Cashman on, he was defending Gleyber Torres. I told you guys weren't keeping him.
You know what we really should do? Me and you, BT.
Yeah.
Take on Booney and his brother. We take down both Boones,
we'd
Aaron
crush
and
him.
Brett.
We'd crush him.
We take them both down.
I'm in.
You pick the year. We'll take you down.
And I was actually thinking about this because now we're messing around. But
is Bowden then.
I believe it is, but
Jim
now I'm
Bowden.
Confused. I believe it's Jim Bowden.
I'm going to go with Bowden.
That's what I'm going with.
Thank you.
I have a more serious question for the Skip.
Yes.
Would you prefer to see BT as Papa Shango? Or?
He strikes me as an old wrestling fan, huh?
Papa Shango or brother?
I can see Booney in his office, YouTube, and 1992 Royal Rumble when he's putting together his pitching chart for. All right, this guy threw 13 pitches last night. This guy threw 19. We can't use him here. We got to go here.
But
five innings for Heel.
You know what I'm
calls
saying?
Calls up to 80, coming off the injury. What?
You know what I'm saying about how it's not clear even what the hyphen.
That's more confusing.
Yeah,
I know.
Like that doesn't help me. B-O-D-E-N. Or B-O-W-D-E-N. It could be both, which is why I
agree.
The name.
No, I agree.
Bowden, though.
What I was going to say.
Bo Jackson Den.
Well,
that's it. I'm done now. Once I know Bo Jackson,
there you go.
That's it. Jim Bo Jackson. So Jim Bowden.
If that's the right way.
Yeah.
For sure. So since Skip is listening
who
to
cares?
Us here.
He's wrong anyway. You're not getting Sasaki anyway, Booney.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, you want to call him a data applicator now that he's listening again?
What? Who said that?
Guy.
I never said that.
Yeah, come on.
No.
He was saying it on the overnight.
That was on the overnight.
Hey, Booney, it was this guy. Anyway, I think what we should do, because when this came, Aaron Boone, right? Yeah. Aaron told Evan and Tiki multiple times that after they did their show from the Hard Rock at Yankee Stadium Remotes.
He told us.
I know. Yeah. But it started by telling them twice, hey, I like the card game. Tell those guys, tell BT and Sal, I want to jump on with them and have a little fun. And then when we had him on, when Susan passed the phone to Aaron Boone at the press conference, Max Fried, he said the same thing, right? So I was thinking about this. What we have to play for something. We have to play for something. Like, if we win...
Or get to be a bat boy for a day.
Well, I'm not going to be a bat... Oh. More like Batman.
I mean,
we look like slobs wearing a uniform at this point. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I mean, I would actually look okay because I could catch the ball. But what we've got to do... Now, this probably is... Well, we'd get it digitally so the fans would reap the rewards, too. Either if we win... Dude, if we win... We get to take batting practice on the field.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean,
ridiculous.
Come on?
No.
No.
I don't want to take batting practice.
Oh, I do.
I just want bragging rights.
Or if we win, we get to have a little catch with Booney on the field. Come on.
I think I could take
Woody. Like walk with Frank? Long toss with BT and Sal?
I'm a righty, but I'll get in the box lefty and pull him down the porch.
Yeah, come on. How are you not down with this? And like if we lose, he gets to host for an hour.
Hey, do you think he wants to do that?
I think he would.
No, he probably want me to never call him a data applicator again, which I don't know if I could put that on the table.
Yeah, we're going to have to. That's not part of the pack. I don't call you that, Skip. He
no,
does.
No, it was just joking.
I complain about some other stuff. But you're not getting on Glaber when he didn't run or Josh Donaldson.
BT and Sal on the field. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.
Báilame como si fuera la última vez y enséñame ese pasito que no sé, un besito bien suavecito, bebé. Taki taki, taki taki rumba.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Talking some baseball this hour. We've talked a lot of baseball throughout the course of the show. It's obviously been Rodgers and Rex Ryan heavy and the Jets head coaching search. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But it is fascinating still, BT. We were just talking about during the break. You know, there are a lot of players still out there. I know it's now, you know, early January. By the way, happy birthday, Joey. My nephew turns 11 today.
All right, Joe. There you go, Joe.
Him and Cole do kind of close
to the birthdays. Yeah.
Joey just turned 11 today. Sent him some stuff. Hopefully the freaking mail gets it there in time. I was supposed to pay to get it there yesterday. It didn't show up, so I better get there today.
Wait, so you got him the Hughes jersey for the Devils, right, for Christmas. What did you get him for the...
I don't want to say because he didn't get it yet.
Is he in school? Well, he's in school now. It's 1:30.
They're homeschooled. He might be all...
You told me that.
I don't know. Maybe he's listening to
it. All right, Joe.
Who knows? We're going back on the Odyssey app.
Got it. How's he playing this year? Getting some goals?
I think well. Yeah, I haven't been to enough game, but he's been playing well. You're having some fun. They got a tournament coming up at... Where was the Miracle on Ice?
Lake Placid.
Yeah,
he's going
go.
Up
they
there.
Got a oh, coming
sick.
Up there for that. I know. I wish I could go to it, but
wow.
Anyway, so happy birthday to him.
Boy,
but the
Joe.
Point is, it's early January, so but we're a month away from pitchers and catchers, and there are a lot of players still there. Like we were going over yesterday on Baseball Night in New York, because the way you're trying to build a team here for the Mets or Yankees, for that matter, Yankees are more complete than the Mets. Certainly, maybe they're a move or two away. The Mets have multiple moves, but there are still a lot of moves to be made, whether it's the bullpen, whether it's bringing in another starter, obviously position players, outfield, infield. There's a lot of players still out there.
There's a lot of big-name players, too, which makes it really exciting. There's Bregman, there's Arenado via trade, there's Pete, there's Castillo via trade. By the way, I meant to tell you this over the holidays, right?
Yeah.
So, mentioning your nephew,
yep.
I'm going through, and we did it for my daughter as well, but you know, because they grow so fast. I mean, you know, he just turned 10 the other day, as you know, and when you're that age, you grow, you're growing out of stuff. So you have some things in the closet that maybe grandma or grammy gave you years ago that doesn't fit. You got to get rid of some. So my wife is doing that. And I kind of go through the jerseys and stuff. Like I determine whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Uniforms we keep. And like I enjoy doing that. I'm going through his stuff the other day, and it hit me as I'm thumbing through it. Travel uniform, club uniform. Ah, there's Rodgers. Ah, there's Brunson. Ah, there's Randall. Got to get rid of that. Soto.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
It's a collector's item.
It was, you know, and it does have the name on it, so I can't even play it off as a Roger Clemens or even an Omar Moreno jersey from back
22
in the day.
Now, yeah, they should be giving that 22 away right now.
You know what I mean? It did hit me. It really hit me over the holidays, and I knew it, but I'm like, oh, I got to get rid of this jersey.
Soto, we are just scratching the surface. It was a battle all offseason long, and even in season where we talked about it and said that he might be leaving. We are just scratching the surface here on how big this is going to be when Juan Soto officially sets foot on the field in a Mets uniform. And then the whole year, Soto versus Judge, the two right fielders this town.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say bad blood because I don't know if it's necessarily that. But still, Soto spurned Judge and the Yankees to go sign with the Mets. Now that's his team. And he's got an uphill battle here. He's got to make the Mets as relevant as the Yankees. Signing there is one way to do it. Now he's got to actually go out there and produce at a superstar level. He shouldn't be taking a backseat to anybody. If there's somebody who could turn the tables, it's him. But he's actually got to go out there and do it. So we've only just scratched the surface here.
The crown is heavy.
Yeah.
And it's heavier when number 99 is not behind you in the batting order. Just remember that one.
I think he'll be all right.
I think he'll be all right.
Hoff,
last year was his best year as a major leaguer.
And Judge didn't have a shabby year either. Soto
hit 62 home runs without Juan Soto a couple of years before that.
Okay.
And 52 as a rookie. Just saying.
Soto 26. See her already. Hoff, what was your question?
I just was wondering, do you think that the next time that Soto and Judge speak to each other on the field will be the first time they've spoken since the last game of the season?
See, that's what I mean. That is weird, right? Mm-hmm. There's something there. I'm not saying it's bad blood.
I don't think there's something there.
There's something there. We've been together all year. They were there for a whole year.
He changed his phone number. Don't you remember the story?
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that whole thing. And even if he did, there's still ways to get in touch with guys. Like, you don't think that Soto's talked to Gleyber Torres since? I guarantee you that he has.
Well, they're boys. I mean, they're straight up boys. I bet you Juan was probably saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to get the Mets to call you. I wouldn't doubt that they were trying to get together and get to Queens. Like, once Juan was already with the Mets, I'm sure he was trying to hope that maybe, if it wasn't realistic, that the Mets might pursue Gleyber Torres. I don't know this to be true. I would venture to guess, being the class act that Aaron Judge is, I would think that he finally got the new number and reached out to him and said, I believe this. And I could be wrong, but I believe Aaron Judge congratulated him on the deal and probably, like, hey, I'm going to miss you, man. I really enjoyed it. I love playing with you. I know what you got to do what you got to do for your family. I hope you're happy. I honestly believe that's the kind of guy Aaron Judge is.
Why don't we get Jim Bowden on that and tell us who's been texting back and forth with Soto and maybe his former teammates?
There was no bad blood between them. Stop starting stuff.
I'm not starting stuff.
He just said you think there was bad blood.
No. I didn't want to use the term bad blood. What would be the other word that you would use?
They just weren't close. Well,
when you got two studs like that,
yeah,
like otherworldly studs,
uh-huh,
and it's why I give Aaron Boone so much credit for being able to keep things together with that team last year.
The Eagles, he's amazing with that.
I do think that Judge is a different type of superstar. Clearly, Judge doesn't have that ego. Everybody's got an ego, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
He let Soto shine, but now Soto's going to be shining somewhere else. There's got to be some kind of discourse. The way that he left, the way that it went down, I'm not buying that it's all hunky-dory. Everybody's okay. They all love each other. Good for you making that much money. I believe. Same thing with Pete, like how Pete's got to be ticked off to a certain extent because of the money. I just believe that there's some kind of bad blood between the two
of them.
I don't know what to say.
Stop dancing around. There's no way there's bad blood. Now, maybe, listen, you ask Aaron Judge, and he doesn't really do these kind of interviews, but if you asked him, of course he's probably going to say that he's fully honest. Yeah, of course I'm going to miss, you know, number 22 in front of me. He's got one of the most amazing eyes in the history of the game. He's a great teammate. He worked hard. I think he would just shower him with platitudes, but I think the difference, obviously, with the Judge and Soto, I think the Judge was able to compartmentalize Soto's free agency different than his own, meaning Aaron Judge loves the Yankees. Juan Soto loves money. And I think that Aaron Judge always knew that. That, like, he's not a natural. He wasn't drafted by the Yankees, wasn't developed.
But
he
was more than the money.
Well, that's... What do you mean?
I mean, the Yankees offered a lot of money, too. It was very close. It wasn't the disparity that we thought.
Yeah, so...
Which to me makes it a little bit more intriguing in the element that he left them, even though they offered him a significant amount.
I get it. Like, basically what Juan Soto was saying to us is he thinks that the Mets are the better bet for the next couple of years. That's why I say, watch out, the crown's heavy.
Yeah, and he's going to bet on himself.
Don't trip. Don't stumble.
Ooh, baby, I can't wait. John is in Old Bridge. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, John.
So I know you guys were talking about Luis Arraez as a possible option for the next Yankee second baseman, but there's one guy out there, free agent, so that's another plus on him. You wouldn't have to trade for him like Arraez.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Jose Iglesias. Now, if you want to do a little comparison of the two last year, so in 270 at-bats for Iglesias, he hit .337 with 20 extra base hits. And Arraez hit .314 with 39 extra base hits and 637 at-bats.
Yeah, I brought him up yesterday. Remember, when we were using Arraez as an example, I pointed to Iglesias and saying what the batting average can do, where people dismissed Iglesias for years. He was out of the big leagues for a while. Mets took a chance on him after guys got hurt, and he had a big impact putting the bat on the ball and getting some base hits and getting on base.
Right. A couple more things. Iglesias' walk rate last year, 4%. Arraez was only 3.5%. And then we go to the defensive side. I think we can all agree that Iglesias is a much better defender than Arraez.
Oh, it's not even close. He's a wizard with that stuff.
Right.
And then
base running, that's a little bit harder to decipher, but I would still give the edge to Iglesias
on that.
Sorry for cutting you short there, but thank you for the call. Look, Arraez has been a batting champion. Do you think Iglesias is going to hit over 300 again this year? I want him back with the Mets,
mm-hmm,
but I'm not banking on the fact that he's going to have the same offensive production as he did a year ago.
No, I mean, this is where we're getting a little twisted. I would love, I remember saying this at the end of last year, knowing that he was going to be a free agent. I would love to have Iglesias on the Yankees as a backup. Yeah, he could play a couple times
a week.
But
that's what he should be for the Mets.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he morphed into that out of necessity. Luis Arraez is very flawed, but he's got back-to-back-to-back batting titles. Three in a row. I don't know. Did Wade Boggs ever do that? He might have. Did Tony Gwynn? I'm sure. But how many guys have actually are going for four straight? Let me actually just check Boggs.
By the way, Iglesias for the Yankees wouldn't be a bad option.
He'd be a terrific option. I said this last year.
He's better than LeMahieu or Cabrera for third base.
Oh, wow. Wade Boggs did win. He won four in a row. So Wade Boggs, wow, look at these numbers.
Yeah, but he won batting titles hitting 330 something.
No, 368, there you go. 357, 363, and 366.
Yeah, 360. I've sold him short there.
Jeez, four in a row. So there's been a couple, but not many.
Bob is in Pennsylvania. Bob?
Wow.
Yes. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Good,
how
Bobby.
Are you, Bob?
Hey, I listen to sports talk radio a lot. And finally, there's a subject where I have expertise.
Okay.
My last name is Bowden.
Bowden. And?
And I'm 71 years old, and I can tell you, well, first of all, it's a British surname. And in the UK, they 100% pronounce it Bowden.
Okay.
Bowden. Yep.
However, I pronounce it Bowden, and my family does because, and I've been in this situation hundreds of times in my life where people who don't know the pronunciation read it and say what they think the pronunciation is. In America, 80% of the time people say Bowden, and 20% of the time they say Bowden. So my family just capitulated.
Oh.
And I
gave up.
Bowden.
So
however,
which one is it? Yeah.
However,
I can't take it anymore, guys. Yeah.
Well, remember the Florida State football coach, Bobby Bowden?
Bobby?
Yeah, of
Bobby
course.
Bowden. It was Bowden.
Yeah, well, that's actually my name, Robert.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
See, that's why I'm so confused, and thank you for the call, Bob.
Did he add clarity, or did he just make it more confusing?
No.
He didn't add any clarity at all.
I think it's to each their own, so maybe Jim goes by Bowden.
I got a question for you.
Bowden. I mean, I think.
I know you complain. Oh, I don't have time to get to the gym. Oh, yeah. I'm going to start working out soon. All right, I believe you eventually, but maybe you get this in your house because this is easier. Yeah. Do you have, or if you do, would you have a Bowflex or a Bowflex?
Yeah, Bowflex.
Exactly.
Obviously. Yeah.
So why is it a Bowden?
I don't know.
Is it Bowden?
I don't know. I'm still confused. You're confusing me even more. By the way, Bobby Bowden there was our call of the day. Today's call of the day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. I would think. I see his name. I've been seeing it for years. I still can't get it right. But now I'm definitive. That's it. Boone is weighed in. It's Bowden. Like Bo Jackson, I'll never forget it again.
Up until a couple of days ago, I kept stumbling over Arraez. I'm like, is it Arraez? Like Luis Arraez. I had to learn how to say it. I always said it wrong with him, too.
BT and Sal on the field. We'll come back. Finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019.
No, don't funk with my heart.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019. There's another. Did you see this, BT? There's another candidate here.
Who?
That the Jets are going to be interviewing. I mean, it's getting out of control here. Steve Spagnuolo. Not that he's a bad one, but like,
what are we doing? I don't want Spags.
This is according to Mike Garafolo.
For the DC job or for the head coach?
A couple of minutes ago, Mike Garafolo, the Jets are requesting an interview with Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo for their head coaching spot.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, come on.
Like, again, I know he's had experience before. He's been a great coordinator.
Yeah.
But like, how many people, I get doing due diligence and wanting to leave no stone unturned. But, like, this is getting absurd here. How are they even going to take the time to properly interview the guys that you really want? Come on.
It's almost, I said to Sal the other days before we got this about Spags. It's like you have so many conversations, you almost have none. Because there's not a ton of substance here. I mean, I give him credit. It's a lot of brain power. That's a lot of hours that you carve it out to do this if you're doing it the right way, which I believe they're trying.
Isn't it exhausting even thinking about what that's going to take to interview 15, 20 people?
I guess. I don't know. Is it just just a cursory introduction with some of these guys? Is it really the whole detailed, what would your staff be? What do you think of our roster? What do you think of our payroll? Like, I don't know. That's just a lot of time. But it's better than, well, there's two names out there. The Jets aren't connected to anybody. I guess, hey, it's the new Jets.
Yeah.
Due diligence.
Now, can you imagine if Rex Ryan, with all these candidates and all these interviews, if Rex beats them all?
He's not getting the job.
I mean, come on, there's no chance.
I'm not going to say no chance because I think embarrassment can possibly propel Woody to do something that I don't want him to do, meaning like if Flores says no and everybody else that we want says no, then I think maybe that, and I always said this from the beginning, that's the bone to the Jet fan. If the Jet fan's disgruntled at the end of this process, and Woody could always say, all right, you know what? Didn't go the way we wanted. Here you go, Jet fans. Now get off my back. Here's Rex.
Oh, God. BT and Sal, the favorite Mario's on Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
How you doing? Great show as always, guys.
Thank you, Mario. What's up?
Lifelong Nick Jet and Yankee fan. Now I love the idea of possibly going with Rex Ryan. I'll give you five quick things, and then I'll let you go. I know it's towards the end of the show. Number one, he's a great communicator, both with the players and the media. Number two, he will demand accountability. And the last three are the most important. 4-2 in playoffs in 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Back-to-back AFC championship games. And listen to this. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, they won back-to-back road games with a mediocre quarterback against Manning and Brady.
Yeah, they did. Okay, Mario, hold on. I don't mean, and I appreciate the list, and I think it's factually correct, but if the list is so appealing, how come nobody wants him other than the Jets?
I don't care what nobody else wants.
Okay, well, hold on. But hold on. Then if the list is so powerful, what happened to the last 5 years that he was coaching?
Listen, let me just say one quick thing.
Answer the question.
You can't go over that. So you're right. All those playoff wins, great quarterbacks.
Yeah, fantastic.
Are right. Now turn the page to the rest of it. You can't just overlook that.
What was the question?
What happened the last 5 years that he was here?
But in totality.
No, Mario. In totality, it's actually worse because he was a coach with Buffalo for 2 years. You know, he got fired with a game to go. Thanks for the call, man. But in totality, he was actually a bad coach. Now, he was top heavy in success, but I think you frame it the wrong. Like, totality would be if you coach 8 years and, you know, two are amazing, three are good, and two are atrocious. Okay, in totality, he did a pretty good job. Two of the 8 years or two of the 7 years were really bad. I can explain that away. It's the opposite with Rex.
So
two of the years were good.
Right. He was with the Jets for six total years. Forget the Bills. Let's leave the Bills out. Although that is a part of it when you're evaluating him as a head coach and a potential hire here. He was here 6 years with the Jets. The first 2 years were the best years, taking over what Mangini built and succeeding with it to a level that Mangini never did or never got an opportunity to do. Rex gets credit for that.
Yes.
Two good years and great years in the postseason, back-to-back AFC championships. Then what? You can't ignore the final 4 years of his Jets tenure and just say, wow, but look what he did the first year. Turn the page. Okay, you're right. He did have great success those first 2 years. Turn the page to year three. Fail. Turn the page to year four. Fail. 6-10. 8-8, 6-10, 8-8, and then 4-12 his final year. That happened. So did the wins against New England and Indianapolis, but so did the bad records that followed. Even if you had two bad years, fine. Turn it back the right way. He didn't. Four straight years, he got worse.
Listen, I don't have much of an issue. I know it comes up, and I understand why you're saying it. And I've said it, by the way. I've said it, too. I don't mind somebody winning with somebody else's players.
Right.
Like Seifert won with Walsh's players, right, in San Francisco. Hell, Joe Torre won with Buck's team. The difference with Joe Torre is that Joe Torre was able to win with other iterations once some of Buck's players, Buck's main pieces, like David Cohn, like once those guys started, not that David Cohn didn't win again, but like there were other, A-Rod was in 09, and Derek got old. He was young for Joe Torre early, and then he got old, and he won that way. So I don't think it's a negative that you won with somebody else's players, but you have to prove that you can win when things go stale, and then you can build it back up on your own. That's
correct.
What Rex never did.
It's not a negative. I don't hold it against him, but if you're evaluating Rex, he did take over a spot that wasn't as bad as it would seem at the time, and elevated. You have to give him credit for elevating it. Mangini maybe didn't get the chance to do it. Whatever. He didn't do it. Rex did. Then what? As the years went on, he got worse. Not just one bad year, four bad years after the initial taking over that other team. Mike is or Mangini's team. Mike is calling from West Orange. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? I got a Jets comment, mostly for you, Sal, because I'm going to turn this into a little bit of a Falcons twist, and I know you're a Falcons fan like me. Jeff Ulbrich, I think he's going to get the short end of the stick here. I think the Jets should actually retain him maybe as the DC, even though he's not going to be the head coach anymore. And let me tell you something. If they let him go, I would take him back on the Falcons in a minute as our DC over Jimmy Lake. Jimmy Lake's got to go. What did they give up, 74 points in their last two games on defense?
Forget the defensive coordinator, and thank you for the call, Mike. The Falcons need a head coach. Here's what I'd say about Ulbricht. Similar to what Rodgers, where the new head coach comes in and decides, if he thinks that he wants to keep Ulbricht on his staff, so be it. I don't have any problem with that, although I would look to move on from Ulbricht, who was completely overmatched as the head coach. Different story, BT, with the defensive coordinator role, but he was completely overmatched, and it was so bad, I personally would move on.
You beat me to it. That's the same exact opinion. The only thing, I feel badly for Ulbricht, because if this thing didn't happen, I think Ulbricht would still, even though the defense wasn't as good as last year's defense, I think there would still be great value for him. I feel like he's lost, not from people in the NFL, because I think he's very respected in those circles, and I definitely respect him, and I appreciate him trying. It just didn't work. But I feel like his perceptions taken a massive hit, and it's really not fair. What his real job is, he's still good at. What he was asked to do, he's not. Nobody's asking him to be the head coach again.
It goes back to the same theory. Did he forget how to coach all of a sudden when he was going to be a hot candidate after last season, potentially, with their defense? It's not like he forgot how to coach, but I just think it would be better for a clean break. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back at it again tomorrow, 10 a.m. BT will reveal who he's going to dress as in the costume. Hop as well, so stay tuned for that. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Enjoy your Wednesday.